Many people in the Christian faith walk do not understand death or the process of death or its purpose, and some even fear death. Does God want us to fear death?
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bernd Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bernd Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bernd's instructional teaching. Bernd shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bernd discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bernd.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth, and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of Antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen.
Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we're going to be talking today about death and the Christian. The Bible has a great deal to say about death and the Christian attitude toward death. Most Christians are repulsed by the idea of dying. Many fear. Most of it, however, is from a lack of scriptural understanding as to what God is doing. You see, God doesn't see death as a finality. God sees death as a transition. The physical human body was never meant in this existence to live forever. I would say that from birth to death, most people live an average of about 80 years or so. Some are blessed enough to have long life, even up to 100. I had a great-grandfather who lived to be 102 years old. On the other side of the coin, I'm not unfamiliar with death, and I had a wife who passed away at the age of 53. My first of four sons passed away at the age of 22 in his sleep. And at autopsy, nothing was found. And I also lost a son during a pregnancy that my wife had. So having lost a wife and two children, I am not unfamiliar with death. But being a Christian, I realize that death is not a finality. Indeed, my wife and two children are no longer a part of my past. They are a part of my future. The same is true with loved ones that you have lost. So death is not a finality. The scripture never says that, and the scripture is authored by the Holy Spirit, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed, it says. And Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 in the Old Testament says, God is not a man that he should lie. So if God the Holy Spirit is the author of scripture and God cannot lie, that settles the matter. In fact, scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. So what I'm saying is that God has a purpose in death and the death process, but it is not a finality. It is a transition into a spiritual body and eternal life. That is what the Christian who believes on God in his Christ and trusts on God in his Christ by his Holy Spirit, that is what the Christian has to look forward to. So let's look a little bit at scripture and see what God's attitude toward death is. And it's going to surprise you to see that God does not at all regard it as a finality, but as a transition, a laying aside of the physical body to take on a spiritual body. And we begin with Psalm 68, verse 20. Listen to what it says. God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. You see, before Christ came, Satan had the keys of death and hell and had control over death. And many were held in the death state, unable to get out of his control. When Christ came, it says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was Christ manifested, to destroy the works of the enemy. And in Revelations chapter 1, the Apostle John asked Christ what he did upon his death on the cross. And Christ said, I descended into the death state. I'm paraphrasing. And I took the keys of death and hell away from Satan, and behold, I have them. And how did Christ prove that he had the keys of death and hell and had taken them away from Satan? By resurrection, showing himself over 40 days to Mary, Mary Magdalene, the 12 apostles, two men on a roadside, and 500 people on a hillside who saw him all at one time. So there would be no question that the resurrection was the most important fact of history, because it meant that death could no longer reign over those who have received Christ and trust on him for their salvation. He has paid the price for all sin. And so, in Proverbs 14, verse 32, we read, the wicked is thrust down by his wrongdoing, but the righteous has a refuge when he dies. Who is that refuge? That refuge is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 57, verse 1, we read, the righteous man perishes and no man takes it to heart. And devout men are taken away while no one understands. For the righteous man is taken away from evil. We've all seen circumstances where young people and young adults die for some reason or another, and we wonder if they did something wrong, or if God was angry with them and took them home, or what happened that they died young. Well, the scripture here tells us God takes them away from evil because of his love. He cares for them. He doesn't see death as a finality. Their eternal life begins with him on the other side. And so what the scripture is telling us is that the righteous believer is taken away from evil, even if he is young. In Ecclesiastes 7:1, we see a closer look as to what God's real attitude toward death is. It says, "A good name is better than a good ointment, and the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth." Yes, birthdays are wonderful, but God says the death day of a believer is even better. Why? Because they go home to the Lord. As a matter of fact, it's confirmed in Psalm 116, verse 15, where it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones." The death of the believer is precious in the sight of the Lord. Why? Because God is anxious to have him home with him. God is going to celebrate on the arrival. I remember when my son John Andrew passed away at the age of 22, I was in grief for about 2 years. And one day, the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Why are you still mourning? Why are you looking back? Look forward. He's here with me." And I realized that what the Lord was saying to me is that John Andrew was no longer part of my past. Now he was a part of my future. And with every day that passes, I am moving one day closer to being with the Lord. And I will have John Andrew also. You say, "Well, how do you know that, Bern?" Well, I read the Bible. In Deuteronomy, Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. But God said, "Go up on the mountain, I'll let you see the people entering in, and I will let you see the promised land." This was Canaan land in northern Israel. And Moses went up, and he knew he could not go into the promised land because he had disobeyed God, and God said he would not be permitted to enter. They were not under grace at that time, they were under law. So Moses went up, he saw the promised land, he saw the people going in, and he got more depressed. And do you know what God said to him? He said, "Moses, why don't you go up on the mountain and die and go home to your forefathers, the way your brother Aaron went up on the mountain and died and went home to his forefathers?" Now, in contemporary English terms, what God was saying was, "Moses, why don't you go up on the mountain and die and go home to your family, the way Aaron went up on the mountain to die and went home to his family?" You see, the scripture itself, in the second chapter from the end of Deuteronomy, tells us that death is a homecoming. Now we know why the scripture says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones." You know, Paul talked about death in the New Testament scripture, and in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, he said, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." Paul was not at all preoccupied with the idea of dying. He said, "It's my way of getting over there. The whole purpose of existence is to get from over here, the physical existence, over there to eternal life. That's the whole purpose of living." And Paul knew it. So in Romans 14:8, he says, "For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." We should all take comfort in those words. It doesn't matter whether we live or die when we are spirit-filled Christians, because we are trusting on Christ for our salvation. We are trusting on Christ for our eternal life, the true life, the life that lasts. Paul even said somewhere in the New Testament scripture, our life here is as a vapor. In Philippians 1, verses 21 to 23, we read, "For to me," this is Paul again, "for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose, but I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better." God's way is always increase. Paul continued in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 14 to 18, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." What God was describing here was the rapture, the taking away of the body of Christ, the church, from the earth before the second coming of Christ for judgment for those on the earth who are evil and those who have rejected Christ. Notice what he says. "We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord." Notice how it begins? It begins with the resurrection of the righteous dead. Listen to verse 14 again of 1 Thessalonians 4. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." In other words, dead Christians who are in cemeteries worldwide will be resurrected out of their graves. You see, the way God looks at things and the way we look at things are two different things. You or I might drive past a cemetery one or more times a week and glance at the graves and the tombstones, and everything looks like death is a finality. That's where you end up and that's where you stay. No. In these passages we have just read, it says the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who remain will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. What is that saying? It is saying that those who are in the graves will be resurrected. Therefore, cemeteries are not final parking places for dead people. Cemeteries are temporary holding areas for dead bodies that are going to come back to life. God is not a man that he should lie, the scripture says. Nothing is impossible for God, the scripture says. Let God be true and every man a liar, the scripture says. So in John 10, verse 28 and 29, speaking of those who will accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, he says, "I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. You see, if you are a Christian believer and you make a decision for Christ and a commitment to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior through death, the process of death, if we should not be raptured first and taken off of the earth at the second coming, and should we have to die, the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ will see us through the entire process and guarantee our well-being, guarantee our safety, guarantee our survival in the spirit man and soul man, and then at the resurrection, glorify the physical man and give him a glorified body so that we walk into eternal life with a sanctified spirit, a sanctified soul, and a sanctified body. He who has begun a work in us is able to bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. That's the day of the rapture or the day of our death, whichever comes first. God's view of death is not our view of death. And over again in the scripture, he tells us, do not fear. Do not fear. Let me ask you a question. Are you a born-again, spirit-filled Christian? God can make one of you for the asking. He can give you the free gift of eternal life in heaven, which cannot be earned or deserved. It is through the work of the cross that Christ takes away our sins, washes sin away with his precious blood, because Father always required a blood sacrifice for sin. Even before Christ came to the earth, it was done with animals, but it only took their sin away for 1 year. When Christ came, his blood is perfect because he is the perfect Son of God, and he offered to do that, to take the sin of all men upon himself, that they might have the free gift of eternal life in him. The Father let him come to the earth to do it, and he did it. And in the book of Hebrews, chapters 10, verses 10 to 14, it says, Christ died once and for all sin, once and for all men, once and for all time. And the last words that came out of his mouth was, it is finished. The work of salvation, of the saving of all, is complete. It's finished. But, as in all other things in the Christian faith walk, the scripture says, we must take possession of it and take it to ourselves. Are you ready? Today is as good a day as any. I believe the Father is calling you to the Lord Christ Jesus. Pray this prayer aloud, won't you? Being willing to turn from your sin, the Lord Christ Jesus will do all the rest. Say these words aloud now, won't you?
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or a personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Burns Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.